Day 44, we are out of the Gospels and right into the book of Acts, which is one of my favorites. We are in Acts 1 through 4 today.
Yeah, so Acts is basically the story of the birth of the church. And I like to go back and just reiterate that when you read Luke and then you read Acts, mm-hmm. it's basically part one and part two.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to understand because Luke mm-hmm. is the author of both. Mm-hmm. They're both commissioned works. Like Luke is writing them. Mm-hmm. They're not commissioned, but they're paid for, I guess. Somebody is giving Luke the resources mm-hmm. to go talk to everybody and to put all of this yep. in writing because this isn't a cheap endeavor.
Right. But we also see Luke in the book of Acts slip in and out of the narrative because mm-hmm. he's there because sometimes it's a we and sometimes so you yep. gotta pay attention to those
yeah,
pronouns.
You do. And so, yeah. but I love the book of Acts because it's just a matter of fact. It's like mm-hmm. written by an investigative reporter
yeah.
almost.
Yep.
Somebody that's done the interviews and done the legwork. And he's like, I'm giving this to you mm-hmm. through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why I like those kind of books.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And so Acts 1, we read, I love this, right? So the first thing we see is it's just a combination of Jesus, like at the end of Luke, right? Jesus is there and he's talking to his disciples. And then in the beginning of Acts, hey, look, it's still Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this is his ascension. And so we know his ascension. Basically, we're talking, he was walking after he resurrected. He was walking around and teaching and with people mm-hmm. for about 40 days. And then at the end of that 40 days, he ascends to heaven. And that's what we get in Luke 1. And I love it. He's like, don't leave yet. Stay here in Jerusalem. And then, wait, because if you're here, you know, my Father is going to give you the promised Holy Spirit. And so you wait here, and then, right, you will be my witnesses. And it's going to be awesome. And I love that they're like, oh, okay, so Jesus, are you going to establish your kingdom now? Is this the time when it all makes sense? They still don't even really get it. And they think, okay, Jesus, are you going now so that you can come back on a white horse and conquer? Mm-hmm. And Jesus reminds them, he's like, I told you guys this already, but let me remind you, that's not for you to know, right? The day and the time. In fact, Jesus says, he says in Matthew, he doesn't even know when the day and time that he'll return will be. But he says, but here's what you need to focus on. Mm-hmm. I will give you power and the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. Basically, you're going to turn this world upside down in my name. Mm-hmm. And so it's just this great promise. And they choose Matthias to replace Judas, which is kind of a big deal because Judas was one of the 12, right? Jesus had some followers, mm-hmm. but he chose 12 to be the inner circle, yep. the leadership. Judas, of course, disqualified himself by and betraying Jesus, and then he hung himself. So yeah, he, as Malia would eloquently say,
He did.
So they replace him with Matthias, and they have some criteria, right? It has to be somebody that was there from the beginning, somebody, and it's Matthias. And then we snap ahead to this picture where they're just all together locked in an upper room. And the reason they're locked there, it doesn't say, but probably they're locked in the upper room because they're afraid. And why wouldn't they be? They were followers of Jesus. The Pharisees executed Jesus because they didn't like his message. And now the followers of Jesus probably are feeling awfully vulnerable. And so they're all kind of in an upper room, but while they're there and what are they doing? A good thing to be doing, they're praying. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit comes and descends on them. And the word tells us that it's like tongues of fire mm-hmm. that fall on each one of them. With that, then they all are very clearly, this is the birth of the church, right? When the Holy Spirit comes on the believers, they are very clearly now all connected and motivated and equipped by the power of the Spirit. And what's the first thing they do? And they go out to do exactly what Jesus said. He said, you'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So they're like, okay, here we are in Jerusalem. Let's go be his witnesses. They go to the temple, the natural place, right? And they just start talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I love Peter's sermon. Everybody thinks, I guess I should go back and say, and they're speaking in a weird language. Mm-hmm. And some people will say, well, they're speaking in an angelic language, but that's not the way it reads here. No. The way it reads here is they're speaking languages they have no business to speak.
Yep.
So it would be like if you spoke Korean, mm-hmm. but not English, mm-hmm. and I was trying to share the gospel with you, my words would come out of my mouth, even though I'm speaking English. They would come out of my mouth as Korean.
Yep.
So you would hear them, right? It would have nothing to do with me. You would hear them in your own language so that you could hear and understand the gospel. And I'm convinced that still happens in the world today,
sure.
in places where the gospel is being shared for the first time.
Chapter 2, verse 5, it says, Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven.
Yeah.
And so we see that because it's Pentecost, there's
everybody's traveled
from different nations there in Jerusalem speaking their native language.
It's almost like God knew what he was doing with
almost,
the timing,
right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how he does that.
So I love this. So Peter starts up and he stands up preaching and he's like, "Let me tell you what's happening. This is what the prophet Joel mm-hmm. talked about when he said that in these last days people would prophesy and dream dreams and all of these things." And
well,
I would think
it's important, I think, to note here is we see like an undoing of mm-hmm. the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah, like, that's awesome, so cool. Right? Because because God says, on purpose, I will confuse your language.
Mm-hmm.
Here he's like, I'm going to do everything because now the message is about me.
Yep.
Tower of Babel, the message was about you. It was self-centered and mm-hmm. self-focused. Mm-hmm. Now it's about me. So I'm going to stop that restriction. And they just share. And I love Peter's sermon. It's worth, I'm glad that people got to read it. I hope they mm-hmm. really dug in. But just, it doesn't pull punches.
Mm-mm.
He's like, this God, this Jesus who you killed,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're like, no, we didn't do it. The Roman centurions did. Nah, you killed him. You're the one that yelled, crucify him, crucify mm-hmm. him, crucify him. And he is God. And you killed him, but all of that happened because it was part of God's plan. And I love their response. They are devastated. Right? Kind of goes back to what David said on Sunday in his sermon, whenever week that was, in the Beatitudes. They had sorrow for their sin.
Mm-hmm.
They were broken for their sin. And they were cut to the heart. And they're like, what must we do? And I love Paul's response. Well, it's not complicated. Or Peter's response. It's not complicated. Believe and be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And I love their response. They're like, oh,
okay.
And they did.
Yeah.
And the church exploded on that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they connected, right? This is this great thing at the end of chapter 2. What did they do once they became believers? Well, they didn't just go away, right? But they got connected. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They spent time together in fellowship, the breaking of bread, which was sharing communion,
mm-hmm.
but also just enjoying meals together. And they
Prayer.
Were filled with wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And they had glad and sincere hearts, and they praised God, and it was this great evangelistic thing too, right? Because everybody from the outside was looking at how awesome this was, and they were like, "Man, I kind of want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a
mm-hmm.
part of that community. That community is so great." And so sometimes our best evangelistic strategy is just being the church to one another.
Yes.
Inside the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we see like that God has just given Peter a clear leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and John healing a lame beggar. And that causes concern. Like they're like, people are like, oh, that guy was lame. How is he healed all of a sudden? And Peter's like, whoa, listen to me. It wasn't me. It was God doing things through me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is the one that healed that person. Yeah, I may have been the one that touched him. It might have been my words, but it was Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
that healed. It's his power in his name that we do these things. And I love, you know, that the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, which the Sanhedrin is made up of the ruling Jews, the same ones that killed Jesus. Now they're talking to Peter and John going, hey, whoa, time out. What's going on here? And Peter and John are kind of saying like, hey, we're not doing this. Right? Jesus is doing this, and we're just doing it through Jesus. And they throw him in jail, but the believers pray. They end up getting released, and it starts this whole tension that happens over the next few chapters between Pharisees, like the leading Jewish leaders that hated Jesus, and now they're starting to hate his followers because they're teaching a different kind of faith, a real, genuine faith that changes things. And it's fun. But there is in here, there's one line that I love. where he says that they recognized that they were ordinary men who had been with Jesus. And I think that's so important for us, right? We are also ordinary men that have been with Jesus, ordinary women that have been with Jesus. And if we let Jesus transform us the way they did, then people will notice that too. And that'll give us such an opportunity to share the gospel with people that need to know it. And so, yeah, just real good stuff.